My husband, the Prime Minister, got up and announced that he did not intend to speak on the Irish motion. We meet, he said, under conditions of gravity which are almost unparalleled in the experience of every one of us. The issues of peace and war are hanging in the balance. In these circumstances, he appealed to the House not to enter into an acute controversy in regard to domestic differences. When my husband sat down, there was gravity and bewilderment on every face. I got up to leave the gallery, but the earnest Ulster ladies crowded round me. Good heavens, Margot, they cried, what can all this mean? How fearfully dangerous. Don't you realize the Irish were fighting each other this very night? Answering as if in a dream, I said, we are on the verge of a European war. A satisfactory reply by midnight. Those fateful and terrible words were greeted by wave upon wave of cheering, which continued and increased as my husband walked slowly down the floor of the House, faced the Speaker, and announced that he had a message from the King. When the Speaker had finished, all the members poured out the House. I left the gallery and went down to the Prime Minister's room. Henry was sitting at the writing table. He looked grave. I walked to the window. For some time, neither of us spoke. Then I went and stood behind his chair. So it's all up, I said. Yes, he answered. It's all up. After dinner, I joined my husband, Lord Crewe, and Sir Edward Grey in the cabinet room. The night was hot. The windows were all open. We sat without speaking and listened to the distant sound of thousands and thousands of people singing and cheering outside the railings of Buckingham Palace. Other members of the cabinet came into the room. We sat in silence. Our clock on the mantelpiece ticked out the hours. Then Big Ben struck. The crowd outside seemed to be singing and cheering everywhere. But inside the cabinet room, it was silent as dawn. I left to go to bed. No reply from Germany. We were at war.